I actually can't remember exactly where I was, but I remember I was, yeah, shell-shocked and thinking, have we got it as well? Because it was at the time they were saying the affected oysters in Tasmania, I think there was two or three shipments that were in transit or had come across into South Australia, so they got quarantined straight away. And but it wasn't, everything had to be tested, and that takes a while, and that was all new back then. And so yeah, we really held our breath until we got the all clear, and it was an amazing feeling, to be honest, but also feeling incredibly remorseful. So sorry for the Tasmanian oyster farmers that were affected by this. So never thought that Tasmania would ever get it, and certainly didn't think it would ever get to South Australia. So yeah, so it was a big wake-up call, and yeah, we're certainly a lot more systems in place now.
The South Australian industry has run through the scenario plenty of times if it did get here. Do you think that it felt like the practices that had been done were put into place straight away?
Yeah, absolutely. No, everyone took it very, very seriously. There was nobody sort of said, no, why do we need to do this? And I mean, because they banned even mature oysters coming into the public to be eaten into South Australia, just in case, someone from the public put an oyster from Tasmania in the water again, just to, for whatever reason, to keep it alive or whatever. So no, everyone took it very seriously, and so there was border controls, and look, there's still ongoing stuff because the potential of boats shifting it through ballast water or whatever. But look, it's such a strange disease in that they don't really know how it's got to Tasmania. So a lot of assumptions going on, but yeah, we're just trying to do the best we can. This has happened around the world in other areas, and there's been a breeding program in place to breed a POMS resistant oyster, and that's well underway, and they're getting a lot of batches now. They're up around 70 to 85% successful or success rate. And when I say the good thing, you shouldn't say it's a good thing as such, but the oysters that were in Tasmania at the time of the incident, they were challenged by, in real time, and they could look at the different family lines and say which ones were, truly were successful against this disease. So there's been positives come out of it, and look, it's a real hard hit on the finances of the Tasmanians particularly. We're going to feel the effect, obviously, because we were pretty much 11 months to 12 months without spat, and so everyone's trying to work out how that's going to affect their cash flow going forward. And look, it's certainly affected the employment, and a lot of people have been put off because it's just not the work around here.
That effect over the 12 months, how long till you'll see what that potentially will be?
Wow, well, for us, it affected us from August last year. We had we're boring along doing excellent sales from March, April, May, June, right through to August. We realised how many mature oysters we had in the system, and we cut back probably 40% in August last year, just to try and make sure we had enough oysters going into Christmas. And we try and maintain sales all year round and look after our customers, and also keep our employees in work every week, which is what they're after. So yeah, no, it's very challenging. There's some farmers by chance were well stocked up with stock, and they're not feeling the effects as much. They're in the minority, but there's quite a few people that were quite low on stock, and yeah, they've just about gone on holidays. Some are talking about going and taking up another job for a while, to introduce spat in the system, but then basically let them go and they go off and do something else for a while. So it's not the end of the world for us, but certainly I suppose it's not much different to farmers on the land when they have a drought for, some people have a drought for 3 to 5 years, and we think our throat's been cut because we haven't had any, spat for 11 months, but, we're in the primary production, so, we've got swings and roundabouts and cycles and whatever, so we just got to learn to deal with them best we can.
When it happened, the two spats that are here in South Australia were just flat out trying to get as much as they could out to the growers, and then also since then there's been a couple of new hatcheries open as well. Do you think that will sort of, or did that help the shortfall?
Yeah, well, it was incredibly bad timing because the hatcheries, the two local ones, had just closed all their, what they call their larvae rooms down, and they'd run all their spat runs, and so when this hit, they couldn't just sort of pick up straight away, and because you need to have oysters that are in spawning condition, so they need to have eggs and sperm in them to extract and to get larvae. And so when it's happened at the end of February, there was virtually no oysters around that were ready to spawn out. And so it was bad timing for everybody, but they, look, they've done an excellent job, Rodney and Adam, and they've had to try and double, quadruple their production in a very short space of time. That doesn't come without its issues and problems, and obviously, you know, cash and whatever to do that. They're two bigger hatcheries in Shellfish Culture, and Cameron's have come over here to South Australia and to set up over here. And they are well underway. So medium to long term, it's going to be it'll be a much better, stronger position. Short term pain, no doubt, but nothing like what the poor Tasmanians are going through.
Does it worry you that they sort of don't really know how it got to Tasmania?
Absolutely. You know, you've got six experts sitting in the room, and they're all arguing with each other, saying it could be this, it could be that, and you think, wow, you know. So everyone's just got their own theories, but we don't really know. Look, it's a really weird thing, because even in Sydney, it's been in Sydney for, I think, at least 7 years now, six, 7 years over there. But it's in different bays, and there's a bay like around the corner, which is not affected. It's not got in there. So they're saying, well, how can that be? And so we're saying, well, how can it get from Tasmania to here if it's not moving from a bay in, you know, the Sydney region, you know, to move 15, 20 kilometres around, which is not. And the amount of boat traffic they've got over there, I mean, wow. So it's a really weird thing. And so we just try and do the best we can, maintain vigilance, and try not to move too much stock around that's particularly from, well, you can't from affected areas. But I mean, when you just hear, like now, we've got oysters from Stansbury just turned up here today, a couple of tonne, which we're processing now to distribute back into Coffin Bay. But, you know, there was a lot of argument about, do we stop the movement of oysters within South Australian bays itself completely? But then they're saying, well, there's a lot of recreationals, you know, they go crabbing at, you know, Lucky Bay and then come back down here and, you know, raise a fish from up there and down here, and mussels and burley, and, you know, they catch fish in Farm Beach and then take it back and clean their fish over at the other side in Portland. You know, there's a lot of people moving a lot of stuff around in the recreational side of things. And then you've got the commercial boats, which are forever, you know, picking up, you know, grabbing here and going there and zipping around. So they've looked at every scenario, and they've tried to put in the best protocols that we can understand, and we think that would give us the best safeguard. But nothing's foolproof, we've worked that out. But I think to have the breeding of the disease-resistant oysters is certainly a real ace up our sleeve.
12 months on, what do you think South Australian oyster growers have learnt from what's happened in Tasmania?
You need a backup plan for a backup plan for a backup plan. So, I mean, there's a lot of people said, and I was probably one of them, oh, it'll never get here, this Pom's disease. But certainly, you know, you need to have a backup plan for, you know, your different... If you're going to try and keep stock in your system. And so we need to look at what has happened in Sydney and also in Tasmania, and look, you know, and work collaboratively together across all the regions. I mean, you know, we're all in this together. And so I think there's a few people, there's a lot of farmers are sitting back a bit now saying, well, I'm not sure I'm going to go ahead flat out and reload my farms just in case the risk is too high. Some are thinking about getting out of the industry completely. Some are seeing it as a huge opportunity to go forward because there's such a market shortfall and the prices are, you know, at least, you know, 20% higher or better. And so it's a bit of yin and yang. There's you know, if you look at it half glass full, it's fantastic opportunities. If you're the other way, well, you're saying maybe it's time to, you know, to slow down a bit, which quite a few are doing.